This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan and Robin Washington here as we hit you on opening headlines and got a few things I want to get to, Robin, as both of us are in the midst of heavy-duty recruiting coverage with basketball and football. And we'll talk more about that throughout the show, but want to hit on baseball first, and then I want to get to Luke McCaffrey. So save a little time for Luke McCaffrey, but man, I mean, I think we had a feeling that Will Bolt was the right guy, but to see what he did this season and how quickly it happened and Nebraska taking Arkansas down to the wire, the number one ranked team in the country. I mean, this would be like Nebraska football taking Alabama or Clemson down to the wire and going into their stadium and punching them blow for blow. And really, it took one bad inning to kind of blow that thing open. But Nebraska had every chance to win that game. And, you know, the outlook for Nebraska baseball, when I just look at this big picture, I mean, it obviously it's heading in the right direction. I think now you're hoping, can they keep Will Bolt long term? I think he wants to be here. That's the key. But I think there's going to be people that are going to want him, especially with what he's already shown he can do at Nebraska in just one full season.
Well, the most important or impressive thing for me about this season, really the last 2 years, was how quickly Will and his staff were able to institute the culture that they wanted this program to be about. I mean, usually that's kind of a process that takes, you know, a couple recruiting classes to get your guys in. Well, that happened about as quickly as you could have expected, and guys really started to latch on to the idea of Will Bolt style baseball, where it's all about toughness, resiliency, and really not really caring about whatever adversity is in front of you. And they showcase that time and again, where, you know, despite all the, you know, hurdles they had to overcome with last year's just freak show of a season, and, you know, this year
the scheduling,
not even getting a non-conference play, getting thrown right into a Big Ten only schedule, the pod scheduling, no conference tournament, then, you know, you get rewarded by having to go to Fayetteville against the number one team in the country. You know, they didn't care, and they overcame so much along the way, and I think that is a real testament to the culture and the identity that Will Bolt has already established within this program. And you know, you can ask any other coach in any other sport, that is the most difficult thing about taking over at a new job, is getting your program to, you know, embrace all the things that you want them to be about. And Will Bolt did that in basically a one full season.
I'll tell you what's different about baseball, too, compared to football and basketball, the three major men's sports at Nebraska. You can build your roster with local guys, mm-hmm, and guys from the region and the area and the state, for that matter. And there's just something about that. When you get tough-minded Nebraska kids in there and put them together, you know, something special can happen. And baseball's a sport where you can do that. You can't really do it in football. I mean, the game has changed since the 90s. I mean, the NFL element in Power 5 football is more so than ever before, where in the 90s, you weren't picking schools to get drafted. You were picking schools because they were good programs and you ran college offenses. Now, I mean, everything is so geared pro, where the type of linemen and things Nebraska was doing in the 90s, it was a different era. And I think baseball has proven, though, you can do it with local guys. And they're going to get a lot of local guys in this recruiting class between C.J. Hood and Drew Christo. And they got a great player coming from South Dakota, I know, next year as well. So basketball, it's hard to do it locally now. They are recruiting one local guy right now, Robin will hit on next segment. But I just think that local flavor really even adds to the intrigue of what Will Bolt's been able to do.
Well, again, the other difference is that, you know, high school level baseball in Nebraska is really good nationally. I mean, the amount of money being invested towards youth programs from, you know, the high school level on down into the real young ages is right up there with anybody. And you're starting to see elite level talent come out of this state and out of this region. I mean, look at the number of Nebraska kids playing in the major leagues right now. I mean, it's notable. And that is one kind of advantage that baseball has in this state, that there is so much homegrown talent to choose from, that it's not even about getting guys that care about the program. It's getting guys that care about the program that are really good. And so that's, I mean, Will Bolt made that a priority from day one. And, you know, go back to the previous staff with Darren Erstad. That was the big knock, was that he didn't prioritize local kids. And so many elite-level players left the state and went to the Big 12 or SEC or whatever it may be. Now Will's keeping those guys home and, in some cases, bringing them back home, and he's winning with them. And so that goes back to that whole idea of culture. When you get guys that love Nebraska and love Nebraska baseball and want to be a part of this program and are really going to 100% buy in, these are the results you're going to get. And this is how you establish a team that has all that resiliency and toughness, both mentally and physically, that we saw them show this season.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show as we talk opening headlines here. And this was something that happened just recently here, the day we're taping the show here. And Luke McCaffrey, you know, went in the transfer portal and stayed at Nebraska as a virtual student the second semester. So he was technically a student at UNL through May, but announced his intentions to go to Louisville. Well, we find out this week he's not at Louisville anymore. And he might have been there a few days, a week, maybe two, but he's gone. And it just, sadly, Robin, I think we're going to see a lot of this type of stuff where kids transfer because they think they've got it all figured out, and then they realize they don't have it figured out. And Luke McCaffrey, you know, is going to, if he wants to play quarterback and start somewhere, he's going to have to play a really low level of FBS football to possibly have that opportunity. He was never going to go in and beat out a 2-year starter at Louisville. He was in a position to play at Nebraska and didn't want to be behind Martinez again, but he still would have probably played this year. But now, you know, he's kind of a laughing stock. After he showed up in Nebraska and made Nebraska look silly and caused a lot of drama in January with the way he exited, where's Luke McCaffrey right now?
Yeah, and it's funny because he made this decision to go to Louisville knowing that they had an established starter at quarterback, and they had some other backups that were veteran guys too. So, I mean, if he was dead set on going somewhere where he was going to win a starting job from day one without really even having to compete for it, why Louisville? And so, I mean, he's there on campus at Louisville for a week, and then he transfers of summer workouts. And so, I mean, I guess what changed between the situation at Louisville when he committed to this week? I don't know. And it goes to show you that clearly he has a very specific situation that he wants, to where he wants to be handed the starting job somewhere. He doesn't want to have to work for it or compete for it. And how many Power 5 schools are going to give him that opportunity, especially after what he showed last season, where, in my opinion, you know, I don't want to sit there and just bash on the kid, but he's not a Power 5 quarterback. He is a Power 5 athlete and a skill guy. I mean, there's no question about that. But when it comes to arm strength, accuracy, decision-making, being able to read defenses, he is not a Power 5 quarterback. And if he wants to be that, he's going to have a very rude awakening of the lack of opportunities he's going to find in his third school in, you know, less than a few months.
Yeah, that Illinois game, which was, they had one of the worst defenses in the conference, was one of the worst played quarterback games I can remember, especially when you're talking about a scholarship guy that had a full week to prepare against a team that you were favored to beat by 17 points. And not only did they lose, they were embarrassed.
Yes.
With, you know, he ran the ball 21 times in the first half because he wasn't making his reads, and you just take off and run and go. And I mean, it was ugly. And you know, he shouldn't be upset that he wasn't the starting quarterback. Martinez played well down the stretch of the year once he came back in. Obviously, they lost the Minnesota game for various reasons, but he played well at Iowa. He obviously played really well at Purdue, and he played really well at Rutgers to an extent. Obviously, the fumbles are a whole other discussion, but statistically, it was one of the best games the quarterback's had at Nebraska in a while. So, yeah, I'll be curious where he goes. I mean, the rumor out there is potentially Rice is where he's going to end up, so we will see, but
yeah, have fun with that.
When we come back, Robin, we're going to be football heavy today. I want to talk, though, about basketball recruiting with you next. It was a huge weekend, maybe the biggest recruiting basketball weekend in the history of the program in terms of level of recruit on campus. Mm-hmm. And I want to get your whole breakdown on that next.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan and Robin Washett. Talking Nebraska basketball as the Huskers had a pretty big weekend, Robin, of guys coming in. This segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Tanner's Sports Bar and Grill. I was in there last night, actually. Had a meeting there with some guys for something, and place is buzzing 8 o'clock at night. Still a lot of people in there having wings, enjoying the burgers, having cold beers. Get on into Tanner's on 31st and Yankee Hill Road. And also check out their neighbor, Tavern 180. They've reopened in the last month. They have a brunch menu on the weekends, USDA Prime Steaks on the menu as well. Great craft cocktails. Tavern 180 and Tanner's on 31st and Yankee Hill. Proud sponsors here of the Husker Online Show. Robin, I want to get into the weekend, though, and I want to start with Isaac Trout. We have a lot of listeners in Grand Island and the central Nebraska area, as we've got affiliates out there as well that carry the show weekly. What is your take? And it's very interesting. Matt Abdelmassi recruits every guy for Nebraska except Isaac Trout. Fred Hoiberg is recruiting Isaac Trout directly himself. What is your read after a weekend in Lincoln where things sit with Isaac Trout?
I mean, Nebraska's right up there with anyone, and a lot of that has to do with the relationship that Fred Hoiberg and Isaac have developed, over the last, I guess, year or so since he was offered in June of 2020, but especially over the last several months when Fred took the reins of that recruitment and basically said, this is my baby. I'm gonna run the ship on this, and he's the one making the 3 to 4 phone calls, texts, FaceTime, meetings, and all that stuff a week with him. And because of that, Isaac and Fred have really grown close over the last few months to where, there's a real connection there. And the one thing that they hadn't done really was spend any sort of face-to-face time together, just because of the recruiting dead period. The only time they'd really even talked in person was when Grand Island played Lincoln Pius, and Fred was able to go to that game and watch his kids play. So, and that was like a brief in passing, like, hey, how you doing type thing. So this weekend was all about being able to sit down and have face-to-face interactions and just get to know each other on a personal level in person. And I think they more than accomplished that. They, obviously did the whole official visit routine with, all the meetings and stuff like that. But, Isaac and his parents came over to Fred's house and had dinner. And then on Sunday morning, they went to Firethorn and had a golf thing with Fred and Sam Hoiberg versus Isaac and his dad. And that's a little bit of a disadvantage for anybody, given how good the Hoibergs are at golf. But it's also as good of an opportunity to bond with someone as you're going to find. And so they more than accomplished what they wanted to get out of that visit in terms of that. And Isaac said he understands that Nebraska has made him a top priority in the 22 class, but he's also being a top recruited as a top priority by a lot of other schools. He's got 3 other official visits left this month. He's looking to schedule a 4th to Oklahoma in sometime in September. And because of the COVID recruiting schedule, 2022 recruits get 10 official visits between now and the spring signing period. And so,
wow.
So he's planning on taking not only all 5 of his pre-senior year visits, but he's thinking of taking as many as 7 before he makes his decision. And right now he's not planning on deciding on anything until January, February. So he is not in any rush to make a decision, but as things stand right now in June, Nebraska's in probably as good of a shape as you could hope for. The fact that they got him on his first official visit and then had a really productive 3 days in Lincoln in terms of actually taking that relationship to the next level.
We saw, you mentioned that he was at Fred Hoiberg's house, and football did that too. Scott Frost had the recruits at his house. And it's funny you brought up Firethorn. Football recruits, I think they're using that as well to bring recruits. So coaches' houses and Firethorn are like two common themes we've seen here in June for Nebraska recruiting. But just having those kids come in the home of a coach, it just seems that's a personal touch that you let the recruit get to know you a little bit differently than being in the office or the gym.
Well, I mean, it's all about creating a family atmosphere, and there's no better way to do that than bringing somebody into your living room and having a meet at your table with them, meet your wife. And then obviously when you got your kid there who would potentially be a teammate of Isaac's, who's played against Isaac and Sam Hoiberg, the walk-on freshman, I mean, that's about as good as it gets as far as creating the whole family vibe. And so that's why I said, I mean, they did everything they possibly could do to maximize this opportunity of finally getting Isaac on campus for his first visit. And like I said, it's a long road ahead. They're going to have a lot to compete with. He's going to see Virginia, Michigan State, North Carolina this month alone, let alone any other future visits that he takes. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but as far as where they are right now as we speak, Nebraska, like I said, is in as good a position as anyone.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show as we talk recruiting Robin and another guy from Waukee, Iowa. I believe they were the state champions in Iowa as well. That's Tucker DeVries' team as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Five-star, Omaha, help me with the last name.
Omaha Ballou.
Ballou comes into Lincoln, number 6 nationally ranked player, 6'8". 205, power forward type. What are Nebraska's chances with Omaha?
Yeah, I mean, that's about as elite of a prospect as you're going to get. I mean, this is a kid that might not even need to go to school. He could go straight to the G League if he wanted. I mean, he's that caliber of player. So, as you would imagine, literally everyone is recruiting this kid. I mean, he could go anywhere in the country that he wanted. But none of those other schools are from his home state. I mean, obviously, he's named Omaha. He was born in Omaha, lived there till he was 5 years old, still has a lot of family in the state and in the metro area. So the idea of coming back to Nebraska and being able to, you know, get back to his hometown, as he likes to call it, I think that's an appealing factor for him. But then you add on the NBA ties with Fred Hoiberg. I mean, this is a kid that has legitimate NBA potential. And so finding a place that can help him develop his game and play in an offense that's tailored towards the NBA is a really big draw for him. And so you look at Nebraska. They obviously have Fred Hoiberg and, you know, his NBA connections. They have his style of five-out offense that is basically a carbon copy of what they're doing in the NBA. They just hired Kurt Joseph, a new strength coach that was from the Minnesota Timberwolves, who will help all of their players train at an NBA level during the offseason and during the season. I mean, that's about as much of a NBA prep as you could possibly imagine. And so you add in the local ties and then that NBA springboard potential, you know, that's why Omaha decided to take his very first visit of the June recruiting period to Lincoln. And that's why he's already talking about coming back to Lincoln for an official visit later on this fall, because he wants to come see a football game. So, I mean, we'll see kind of where Nebraska ultimately stacks up against, you know, the bluest of the blue buds out there. But, you know, I mean, there's mutual interest. He wouldn't waste his time coming to Lincoln twice if there wasn't mutual interest to some degree.
Now, two other guys I want to hit on, Robin, that were here. Simeon Wilcher, a 5-star, the number 8 player in the country. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, we're talking about Nebraska basketball.
I mean,
when you go, we're just not, I'm just not used to saying these things.
That's why you call it you could make a case that this was the biggest recruiting weekend in Nebraska
old
history.
Old, crusty, former sports writers would challenge you that they've had.
I get it. They got good players on campus in the past, but how many of them all showed up on the same weekend?
And then Chance Westry, a 4-star, number 24. So they had the number 6, the number 8, the number 24, and the number 67 player in the country.
Yeah, and Isaac 67, and he's probably criminally underrated per that. So, you know, Chance Westry was the other official visitor. So we'll start with him. You know, it's hard to get a read on his situation because he doesn't do interviews. His dad basically shut him down from doing recruiting interviews, which, you know, is probably smart. But so we don't really know exactly how he felt about it, but I will say I've rarely heard of a bad official visit, you know, especially nowadays. So I would imagine things went very well, as you would hope. I mean, he posted some pictures on his Instagram of him in Nebraska stuff, you know, looking like he was having a good time. he is, you know, a kid that is right on the fringe of being a five-star in his own right. I mean, he's 24th in the nation. I think there's 21 five-stars right now in the 22 class. So, I mean, this is another elite-level player that took his very first official visit to Lincoln. So clearly you can probably read into the level of interest on his part. But, you know, his situation is, I think, directly tied with the other visitor, which is Simeon Wiltshire, who, as if anybody doesn't know, is the younger brother of current Nebraska freshman Xavier transfer CJ Wiltshire. And so just like they did with Trey and Bryce McGowan's, Nebraska is trying to get a top-level transfer to come in and then being able to double down on that with getting his five-star brother to campus as well. And just talking with their dad, Sergio Wiltshire, on the phone, he made it very clear that they legitimately do want to play together at the next level. And while Simeon's going to have a bunch of options, obviously he's a top 10 player in the country, I mean, Nebraska has a very real shot at getting him. They are about as close of siblings as you can get. They've talked about wanting to play together. And, you know, you want to talk about a family atmosphere, that's about as family as it gets. And so that is certainly one to watch. And so how Nebraska addresses the point guard position in their 22 class might depend on how they feel about their chances with Simeon Wiltshire, because clearly if they get him, he is your point guard of the future, and that might influence some decisions with guys like Chance Westry, you know, because, you know, the point guard is a different position than anybody else on the floor, especially or even in Fred Hoiberg's five-out offense. You got to find your guy to lean on, and maybe if they think Simeon's that guy, that could ultimately dictate the chances with some of these other point guards that are coming this month.
All right, when we come back, we're going to bring Greg Peterson and Abby Barmore in with Robin and I. We're going to take your questions in the mailbag before we get into heavy football recruiting talk next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. We talked a lot of basketball just now with Robin Washit. We're going to keep Robin in and bring in Abby Barmore and Greg Peterson now as it's time to take your questions in the mailbag. And guys, it's been a busy, busy week here for all of us with Husker Online. What do you have to start us out with, Abby, in the mailbag?
Who do you feel highly confident about Nebraska landing at some point from the weekend, and who do you feel least confident about?
I think when you look at the guys in general, I mean, you have to like Richard Torres's chances, just the way he left town. I mean, that's where they started, and they already got Chase Androff, as we know, you know, out of the weekend, and I think that's just a start. I mean, Landon Samford. I mean, I think, honestly, of the eight guys, five or six of them, I mean, to me, it's not unrealistic that all five or six of the eight could come. The one that you want, I mean, there's a few, I guess, that you wonder about, but Nico Dalvier out of Arkansas, I wonder about him long term. And, I think Justin Williams are in a good position with him, but if he goes longer with this thing, that's going to be very difficult. Because I don't know if Nebraska is going to want to wait till Thanksgiving on their running back commit.
So with basketball, I kind of hit on this on the last segment was, I think they're in a good spot with Isaac Trout. But if I had to pick of those four visitors, Simeon Wiltshire in the 23 class, I think is the most likely to commit. The connection with his brother, CJ, I think is going to be enough to sway a top 10 five-star to Nebraska in the 23 class.
All right. What do you got next for us, Abby?
What areas on offense and defense do you see the biggest improvement next year?
I mean, I think you have to say receiver is going to be the most improved because it has to be the most improved, and I think they've upgraded the talent. Defense, I don't know if just one area, but I just think the depth is going to show more than ever. I look at the front seven, what they've done there with the linebackers, the defensive line, I just think the depth in that front seven in general is going to help Nebraska win games next year. Greg, what do you have?
Well, that easy one is the wide receiver, but I'm looking at the running back position. With all the bodies that they have in there now, with a lot of different type of runners, I look for the running back position to really start to shine this year, and I think you're going to see more dedication to the run.
Abby, anything on that?
I mean, yeah, I agree. The running back thing is interesting to me because they've had a very kind of iffy, you know, group since Frost has got here. So it'll be interesting to see if they can pull out a few guys out of that area, and especially with recruiting too, if they could get a couple of guys in there going.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. We're taking your questions in the mailbag with Husker Online intern Abby Barmore. Abby, what do you have next?
Will Nebraska football have top 20 ranked football class in recruiting this year?
Will they have a top 20 ranked class? I think it's going to be hard, but I also think the ratings are hard to read right now. The fact that, I mean, I look at our company rivals. Right now we're down to basically four regional analysts at this point. And, you know, other companies don't have a lot either. And with COVID, companies weren't allowing these guys to travel for any of the services this year to go out and really see a lot of guys. So I think the evaluations on a lot of guys are maybe a little more off than ever before this year because you haven't been able to see these kids and the coaches haven't been able to see these kids. So I think there's just on our rankings, I think there's a lot of kids that Rivals is going to throw the 5'6", 5'7", 3-star on and just kind of play it safe, where some of those guys maybe are 4-stars. And I believe they are. It's just because the lack of eyes that have seen some of these kids have led to the rankings being a little bit off, and I think we're going to see that maybe down the road when we look at this class big picture.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the reality of the situation, is when you got players that haven't been seen outside of, you know, video clips and highlight reels, there's only so much you can base rankings off of. So the opportunity to properly evaluate, both from a recruiting service standpoint and from the coaching standpoint, has never been more limited. And so that, I think, is going to reflect in the rankings to where you look at how a class stacks up nationally. How much stock do you put into it? And just because of the situation that we've been in over the last 15 months.
Well, and obviously people don't realize that there's five or six teams that really dominate these recruiting rankings year in and year out. Number 20 recruiting class is not much different than the number 30 recruiting class, the number 35 recruiting
class.
No
doubt.
So I think that the gap is going to be a lot bigger this year just because of all these reasons that we just mentioned.
All right, what do you have next, Abby?
Does the success Hoiberg is having with recruiting finally put to rest the excuse that he can't recruit top-ranked players in Nebraska?
Well, clearly. I mean, they can get 5-stars here, so they've proven that. And they can put a consensus top 20 recruiting class together with what they built with the 21 class. Now the challenge is you got the guys here, now you got to win with them. And if they can find a way to translate their recruiting success over the past couple classes into wins on the court, then you're rolling. And then you got a snowball effect where your 22, 23 class are only going to continue to stay at that level, if not get even higher. So, I mean, this was a big first domino to fall to be able to get that level of talent here, but now they got to go win with it.
Taking your questions in the mailbag, what is next, Abby Barmore?
Is it a fair take that once you get beyond the top players, let's say high 4-star and above, fitting into the scheme is more important than ranking?
I mean, I think fitting in the scheme is always important, and it should be the most important thing. And it's a dangerous game just to play the rankings only. I mean, you need to recruit the guys that fit your scheme. And that might mean a 5'6", 3-star is a better fit for what you want to do than a 5'8", 4-star with baggage. And I know the 5'8", 4-star wins you the message boards and the internet and gets you excited, but we've seen a lot of those 5'8", 4-stars, 5'9", 4-stars leave Nebraska pretty quickly because they weren't fits in the program, the culture, the scheme. So, yeah, I think fit should be as big of a priority, at least for football. I don't know about basketball, but for football, it's really important.
Yeah, it's probably more so for football because, you know, there's more emphasis on development at football, where basketball guys are ready. I mean, they're ready to hit the ground running as freshmen, where that's much harder to do in football. And so, yeah, fit and getting guys that have long-term potential and being able to develop that long-term potential. That's where the Wisconsins, the Iowas, you know, those types of programs have been so good, is not only identifying guys that fit what they want to do, but developing them into all conference and even NFL level players.
taking your questions in the mailbag. We have time for a couple of more. Abby, what's next?
Out of all the recruits this weekend for football and basketball, which one is the most important for Nebraska to get?
Man, I mean, I think in football, you can say they're all important. I mean, there's quarterback, though. I think you have to start there. Richard Torres or A.J. Bianco down the road. But they need to get a quarterback in this class. And you've got to build a class around a quarterback. So I think you can start there. Then I would say Justin Williams, being the highest-ranked visitor they've had on campus, he'd be my next guy because they're only taking one running back. And they brought him in. They'll bring in another running back, though, this weekend as well, as Ashton Hayes out of Reno, Nevada, the Nevada High School Player of the Year, will be in Lincoln as well.
Yeah, for basketball out of that group, it's Isaac Trout, no question about it. I mean, obviously, he's a local kid, so there's added emphasis there. But this is a player that Fred Hoiberg has taken the reins of his recruitment for the last several months, and he has identified Isaac as their priority target for 2022. He is the guy that Fred Hoiberg wants more than anyone. So he's the clear number one in that regard.
And I'm with you, Sean. Richard Torres, bottom line for me. From the body language I saw from him on Friday night and hanging out with Adrian Martinez and Mario Verduzco and Coach Frost, I think that that's their big priority right now. And landing Chase Androff the way they did, I think that, you know, with their other two tight end targets coming in, I'm looking at this kind of a cycle where these guys might be pulling the trigger a lot quicker than they want to, just because they know that Nebraska is only going to take one at that position, and they know that their other targets are coming in for a visit behind them.
Final question, Abby, what do you have to end us on?
What is the most random camp story you can share from your times attending camps?
Well, I've been to a lot of camps in a lot of different places, and one of the more unique ones at Nebraska was when Bill Callahan was the coach. And Bill was great. I mean, we used to get full access to his Friday Night Lights. I mean, like, we could practically – Greg would come in from the national team and come in. They'd bring your camera inside and tape things. And
yeah, that was great.
Different era. I mean, it was like we were like a documentary company filming the camp practically. And but there was a guy one year that was in his 30s that evidently had been – hammering the coaching offices about wanting to get a workout and take part in the Elite Quarterback Academy. It was the first time that they had run one of these camps. And so Jay Norvell, who's now the head coach of Nevada, and Bill Callahan really ran and put on this camp. And at the time, it turned into the premier quarterback camp in the country for high school quarterbacks to attend. Well, this guy, you know, was badgering Nebraska to work out as an adult in the camp. Well, he shows up to the camp with a Tommy Frazier jersey on. And all of a sudden I see Jay Norvell out on the field with this guy, and Callahan, Coach Callahan, comes up to me and goes, Sean, look at this guy. He's been bothering us and coming up to our offices and wanting to work out. And, you know, he's a real threat. Like, we can't have this guy here. So Coach Norvell starts warming this guy up and it's like, let's see what you got, big guy. And like throwing it back and forth. And, you know, this guy thinks he's getting a tryout for the Husker football team. And, you know, the next thing you know, like, the campus security guys kindly asked the gentleman that, you know what, this is a kids camp and you need to find your way out the door.
Oh my God. I don't have anything that competes with that. But one story that I always remember from one of the Nebraska basketball camps was, this was kind of when the seat for Tim Miles was turned up really hot, and he kind of had an idea about what potentially was coming. And they were having a camp, and it was, I think, before Chucky Hepburn's junior year, so he was just coming off it was the summer after his sophomore year. I'm sitting with Tim, and he's talking, and he says, Rob, do me a favor, would you? And I'm like, what is it? He's like, if I get fired, make sure the guy that replaces me gets Chucky Hepburn. Like, that's how early he identified Chucky as a guy. And we can have a conversation about, you know, why Chucky didn't come to Nebraska for a different time. But that always stuck with me. It's one of those deals where it was like the first time a coach that kind of actually acknowledged he was probably not going to be there when the time this guy actually graduated high school.
Okay, I will take this out of state.
Tennessee, Lane Kiffin camp?
Oh, boy, that's one I forgot about. That would rank up there, too. No, but, I mean, I could go several different directions on this, getting run over by the number one player in the country. But I'm going to go back to one that you were actually at, Sean. Go back to the Stanford Nike camp when we were getting ready to do wide receiver DB one-on-ones, and Jerry Rice Jr. was one of the kids at the camp. And Jerry Rice Sr. happened to be there, and we challenged Jerry Rice to see if he could still run a pattern, and he took a rep one-on-one against a
four-star
corner and burned the kid to death. And, you know, I got the video, and that video went viral. So that one really sticks out to me.
I forgot about that. That was a and you worked the Lane Kiffin Tennessee camps back when Ed Orgeron, who was on that staff? Monty Kiffin, Ed Orgeron.
T.
Martin?
Yeah, all those guys. Yeah, T. Martin was there. So, yeah, that was pretty memorable.
Didn't they let you shoot from, like, the coach's tower?
No, I was standing right in between Monty and Lane Kiffin, right in there in the one-on-ones. Lane wanted to say something to Monty, and he started to walk in front of my camera, and he stopped and went around the back of me. No head coach has ever done that.
How considerate.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So.
Oh, it's always fun. I love camp month because it is a different type of access you get to the football program, and it's tedious, but you learn a lot, and just the access you get to the coaches and the program in Lincoln on the road makes it worth our time to build relationships and hopefully get stories that we can share with you either at that moment or down the road at moments like this. So
that's what made last year so difficult for us.
Being locked up. All right. When we come back, we are going to talk about camps. Greg and Abby and I covered Friday Night Lights. I was in the Shrine Bowl as well. There were private workouts in Lincoln. We're going to discuss that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, now Greg Peterson, Evie Barmore. We hit it on camps, and we're going to stick on that topic here as we talk some recruiting as Nebraska held their first camps on campus since 2019. And Greg and Abby and I were at Friday Night Lights this past Friday. And, you know, really, I felt, guys, that Friday was divided up into a couple different things. I mean, a few different things. You had the private workouts, which Nebraska made a few offers out of those private workouts. Then you had Friday Night Lights, which Nebraska made a couple of offers out of Friday Night Lights. And then you had the official visitors, and they used the visitors to come down, had them come down and be around it. So they did what they could with it to make Friday impactful. And I think just having guys on campus, it tells you what the value is. They were able to make an offer to Gunnar Gatula on the offensive line. Quantavious Gumbo Gaskins out of Georgia, an unknown corner, gets an offer from Nebraska. You see Nebraska make some, you know, pretty quick offers after private workouts. Now, Jordan Vandenberg was offered by Iowa, then Penn State. He committed to Penn State, but he was an Iowa Western defensive lineman. Ran a 4.475. He's a kid from South Africa. So, you know, they did what they could, and we're going to do it all over again this week. There's no Friday Night Lights, but there's about 20 more kids coming in, Abby. And you talked to some guys with us on Friday as well, coming in on Friday for these private workouts, which, you know, what was your read after interviewing a number of these kids that worked out on Friday?
I think it was really beneficial for them to come in, and like, they haven't had these time with the coaches to spend time with them. And there was a lot of kids that did get offers, but there a lot that I talked to felt like they could get an offer. They felt like they got a lot of good feedback from the coaches. And someone even said they talked to head coach, and he said that he was almost ready to pull the trigger. So it was good for Nebraska to see all these guys in person, and they got a lot of good feedback that'll probably make them much better in the future.
And Greg, I want to ask you, at the camp, I mean, you noticed it right away. Gumbo Gaskins was one of the only guys that didn't have one of the black jerseys on, and the black jerseys typically meant you were an identified recruited prospect for Nebraska already. He came in with a white jersey on, but he left with an offer.
Yeah, and I pointed him out to you. You had gone over to Hawk Center to watch the bigs work out, and you came back, and I was like, do you know who this big corner is over here? And you're like, who? And I had to point him out to you. And, yeah, he caught my eye right off the bat. Just big, big athletic corner, and, you know, good-looking kid. So that was one of those diamonds in the rough that, you know, you got with a camp that was basically local kids. That Friday Night Lights one is almost always full of local kids. And I think it was bigger this year because you have the Big Four Omaha Metro kids that aren't going to come to Nebraska. They've made that clear. So this gave the coaching staff a chance to evaluate some of those other local prospects. And, you know, you saw a couple of them get offers. And I think that that's been beneficial for all of these kids that have always dreamed to come play for Nebraska and have not ever gotten that chance to, because the numbers just don't work out that way.
Well, and you think about the 2023 kids, Ben Bramer, Gunnar Gatula, they were going into the ninth grade the last time Nebraska had camp. So
yeah,
there is no possible way Nebraska would have been recruiting these kids as eighth graders. So for them to get them as 10th graders now going in the 11th, you know, it was a big deal. It was the first time that Ben Bramer has been able to work out for the Nebraska coaching staff. And you kind of know what you're getting with this kid. He's a dialed in 6'6 kid that can run, that can jump. Gunnar Gatula, also a coach's son. Something else fascinating. Both those kids' fathers are state championship head coaches at the Class A and the Class C level. And Coach Ryan Gatula and Coach Mark Bramer, two of the better coaches in the state of Nebraska, and their kids. Now, Gunner has not committed to Nebraska yet, but I would expect he would be at some point. So that was interesting. I thought, too, there were a couple other in-state kids that really flashed. Victor Easley, Greg, we saw him twice this week.
Isley.
I keep saying Easley. Isley. He was one. And then Benny Nagwai, 2023 receiver, 6'4" verified out of Lincoln High, state qualifier in the track. He can run, he can jump. And then a Lincoln East kid that was not on our radar. And a lot of it is, I mean, Coach Gingrey is very, very selective on kind of who he promotes. He wants kids to earn it. But Malachi Coleman won two medals at the state track meet. He ran an 11-200, a 22-5 in the 200. And he went 45-9 in the triple jump. So he's an athlete, and he's 6'5". So a couple more in-state guys, Greg, for 2023 that we came away pretty impressed with.
Yeah, and I want to touch on him again, too, because I'm a Lincoln East graduate. Abby's a Lincoln East graduate, and you've never seen a wide receiver like that at Lincoln East. I can guarantee you that. But, yeah, you know, I was impressed with Victor Isley. We just saw him again Monday. This guy, he's going to get knocked on for his height.
He's 6'2".
He's 6'2". But this guy is one of the quickest guys off of the edge that I have seen in a long time. And at this level, he's slippery and he's strong. Very impressive young kid. I really liked him. And then, you know, a kid that we just saw Monday that you've already known, my first chance to meet him was Vince Genitone, who'll be in here on Friday for his private workout. And this kid, I was really blown away by him. I wasn't expecting much when I laid my eyes on him. But this kid can play football. This kid's smart. And I think he would be an asset, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he walks away with an offer on Friday.
Anything with you, Abby, on these in-state guys? I mean, you obviously got a chance to see them for the first time on Friday as well.
Yeah, you know, going back to all you guys said, it was really good to see these guys in person, and there was a lot of the guys that I didn't really know, but they stood out. You know, Victor Easley?
Now you got me confused.
Isley.
Sorry, Victor. He definitely stood out, and I was really impressed with what he could do, and he's fast, you can tell, and maybe he'll grow a little bit more. He's still young. But yeah, it was great to go to camps to see the guys in person, and I'm still trying to feel my way around it, but it's been fun, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, Genitone's Friday workout, that will be one we'll watch closely. Yeah. He broad jumped 10-7. At the Cal camp.
Which, as a state champion wrestler.
So that 10-7, to put in perspective, would have ranked second for all linebackers at the 2019 NFL Combine. They haven't done a combine since 19. So, I mean, he's got a lead explosion. The only knock is he's 6 foot. Mm-hmm. He's got a wingspan, though, of over 6'3". So he plays a little bigger than that height, and he has a size 13 shoe, so he might grow still. But if he's 6'2", he's a national recruit. And just like Isley, I mean, if he's 6'4".
Oh, big time, yeah.
He's probably close to a four-star guy.
Because he attended the Rivals camp in Indianapolis, too. And unfortunately, the weather wasn't very good there, so reps were cut short. But he did put a good performance in there as well. So, yeah, hopefully these guys grow another inch or two, and they would be big-time guys. And we forget about Mac Owens out of Aurora, another linebacker prospect who does have the size and has the look. And this kid also, had his private workout last week with the coaching staff. So keep your eye on him, too. I know a lot of people out in the Aurora region really, really like this kid and are expecting big things out of him this season.
All right. Well, when we come back, Brian Munson's going to join me as we're going to talk about the visitors from this past weekend, and we're going to preview this upcoming weekend. Nebraska hosted 8 visitors. They'll have 6 more coming in, so they'll have a total of 14 official visitors in and out over the first 2 weeks, and we'll get you caught up on all that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. 2-1.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan now joined by Brian Munson, who may be the busiest man right now in Nebraska media, as Brian has just been pounding it for Husker Online over the last week. Reached, I think, Brian, did you get 7 of the 8 visitors yourself this weekend on Husker Online?
Yeah, I got 7 of them.
So you went 7 for 8, and Mike Mattia got 1. But, yeah, then we've had camp offers and everything. And then another visit weekend of 6 more visitors coming in, Brian. But I want to start with this past weekend. And I think you really pegged this right away, what Nebraska was doing. They wanted to bring in particularly offensive guys, kind of their top guys that they feel early on the board, get them on campus together, let these guys know the value, and then hopefully, you know, say, hey, but the spot's not here forever. And kind of let these guys know, guys like Torres, the quarterback, and Williams, the running back, and Sampson, the receiver, that you're a guy and we'd like you. But obviously we're going to keep bringing in guys here the rest of the month if we don't really get a good feel that you're going to come to Nebraska.
Yeah, and Androff said it last night too to me, you know, privately left it out of the commitment interview that we did with him. But, you know, it's kind of genius what Nebraska did. They said, you know, are we going to have this priority weekend to kind of get our board going in the right direction? And we don't have to squeeze anybody basically while they're on campus. If they felt the pressure like they did, like, you know, like Androff felt like he wanted to commit, and Scott Frost saw it in his eyes, and Scott Frost said, go home, think about it. Andros' mom came out of the office and goes, that was amazing. And they were just in at that very moment. But taking it a step further, a guy like Torres leaves Nebraska on Saturday night to go to camp at SMU. And he's not feeling, you know, like Scott Frost and Verduzco were squeezing him for a commitment that Saturday. He's thinking about the things he's got to get done before Bianco gets on campus, you know, the weekend of the 18th. So he has this timeline. He knows what the timeline is to where he can get things to kind of get canceled for Nebraska and claim that spot. Androff knew that Burkle and Austin Terry were coming in, and he had to make sure that he was going ahead and getting his spot before Nebraska brought in the other two tight ends. It's really genius what Scott Frost and Nebraska are doing.
Yeah, and let's get to the commit. Thus far, 1 commitment, and we're taping this on late Tuesday evening, but Chase Androff committed to Nebraska, Brian, and you hinted that when you interviewed him, he played a little closer to the vest, but in all reality, he knew he wanted to commit. Are they done now, Brian Munson, at tight end?
I believe they are. I think Androff really fits a different type of kind of role in the room. And that room is, you know, we know it. It's one of the better rooms in the nation when it comes to the tight ends that any school has. That collection of guys right there, they're all very versatile. But Androff does something that I feel like is a little bit different than the rest of them. I feel like he has that little bit longer, a little bit broader frame, and I think that he can play more of a true Y, hand in the dirt next to a tackle. I think that also he can do some things in more of a flex type, you know, situation, going in motion, doing those kinds of things. But I really feel like Nebraska needed to probably do some things that were more Big Ten-esque and needed that tight end that could put his hand in the dirt, and Androff could be that guy.
All right, Brian, let's talk quarterback now. Richard Torres, you were able to reach him en route back home after the visit. What was your feel? AJ Bianco, as we know, has a visit scheduled for the 18th, which is another weekend from now. Do you think Richard Torres is a commit before AJ Bianco even gets to Lincoln?
I do. I really feel like this is going to come down to Torres is going to go ahead. He just left TCU today. He was the day before. He was at SMU this weekend. We all know that. He's going to go to UTSA, and then he's going to take the official visit to Kansas State this weekend. And I think sometime midweek next week, he is going to have enough information to go ahead and grab the spot at Nebraska. And that's basically something to me. You know, he said basically when he was in his layover, he just said, my mom can see me there. You know, my mom told me, she stopped me and she said, they can see me there. And there was always a distance factor I felt like was really odd with him because of the schools that he was even talking to. Let's be honest, UTSA, the Roadrunners, that's a good football program. That's not Nebraska, and it's not TCU. It's definitely not even Kansas State. So it just felt like he maybe was a guy that was going to want to stay closer to home. But in actuality, all he needed to do was go to Nebraska and just really get those questions answered that he and his family had. And I think that's really going to help out here in getting his commitment next week.
Now, Brian, we could go on and on about this past weekend, but is there anyone else, if you were to kind of handicap it, who would be the closest to commit after some of the guys we had just talked about?
You know, I would have said Valen Erickson, but he's gone on a little bit of a tear and picked up a Louisville offer and an Illinois offer today. You know, and he's also got a Tennessee official visit he's going to probably take in the last weekend of the month, and then he's going to kind of take some time off and kind of get some things figured out. I feel good about him still, don't get me wrong, and I feel good about Jalen Marshall, even though he's going to Oklahoma State this weekend. And they actually moved his visit up, which I thought was a little bit strange, but we'll keep an eye on that. Landon Sampson is still probably the odds-on favorite, however, to jump in the class the next out of the eight kids.
I really like him.
I do too, and I think he plays in such a great offense there. For Dodge out of South Lake Carroll. I think that he's got great athleticism. I think he can stretch the field. I think he can do stuff in tight spaces. I think he's just going to be a great fit for the wide receiver position in general for Nebraska. And I think that after he goes to Ohio State on an unofficial visit, I think we all agree there. I don't think there's really a chance that Ohio State offers. And once he gets back home, I think he'll have a chance to really kind of sort things out. And he'll jump into the class too.
Now this weekend, Brian, a few things jump out. One that immediately got my attention was Ashton Hayes, the running back out of Reno, the Nevada High School Player of the Year, will be in Lincoln. And we talked about this for weeks. Who are the other running backs on the board? Well, we now know who the other running back on the board is right now, Ashton Hayes. But is he a running back, or is he more of a Wandell Robinson? Is he more of a slash guy? I'm curious, you know. Could they take both him and Williams both in the class, or is it one or the other right now?
I think it's still one or the other, and I think that this is Nebraska playing chess and not checkers. Although I'll tell you this, Ashton Hayes is one guy that I've had a chance to catch up with today, and that is one fired up dude about taking this visit this weekend. And I don't see Justin Williams budging from his commitment timeline of waiting till at the end of the season, probably looking like Thanksgiving time, end of November. This is going to potentially try to expedite, you know, Justin Williams a lot. So does that push it from a one, as we've been kind of reporting so far on the big board, to a two? It's possible. I think that they have some flexibility in their class to kind of grab a guy or two. And it does speak to this. There's been a very interesting comment that Justin Williams has said time and time again, when it comes to Nebraska and how they see him fitting in the offense. They see him as a third down back. They have said that. He has said that to me repeatedly about how they said that he laid love his hands, he can fit in immediately, and he can come in and start working third downs. That actually could be more of your Wandale Robinson kind of slash guy, as opposed to more of a full-time running back type of situation. And Ashton Hayes is no slouch. That is a really, really good player right there. Go check out his huddle film.
All right, Brian, and, you know, another observation, as I look at the weekend coming up, it feels like there is a priority on some key defensive targets. Tyler Martin, maybe the other inside linebacker they want, the four-star, the Mike Dawson guy he's bringing in from the East Coast. You've got a couple of Travis Fisher kids coming in. Markeith Williams, who's also going to visit Ohio State, has an Alabama offer. Avery Powell, a corner. It just has a feel of some priority defensive guys right now this weekend.
I totally agree with you. I think that Tyler Martin, to kind of go with Ernest Housman as an inside linebacker, make the most sense. And what's interesting there is what you said. This is a Mike Dawson recruited guy because he's in the Northeast, but there's also a personal connection back to Mike Dawson through Tyler's mother, that they were both athletic directors up there in Massachusetts. So they know one another very well. I think that what becomes really kind of interesting is, you know, we were missing that kind of defensive flavor that first week. There's a little bit more of a defensive vibe that's going on right now. Markeith Williams, you know, announced the top three of Alabama, Ohio State, and Florida in January. Now he's visiting Nebraska in June. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of happens there. Avery Powell, a little bit on the shortish side. Fantastic athlete, though, when it comes to him and his ability out of New Jersey. You know, and one guy that we really haven't talked about, Grant Page, been to Nebraska before, loved it, was at Kansas State last weekend. I think Nebraska may have room for two wide receivers. So if you're looking at how Nebraska could finish the class out, you know, you could take a Landon Sampson and then you could grab a Grant Page right behind that. But it's going to get kind of interesting to see what happens there. We mentioned Hayes, and then Hayden Schwartz, nice looking defensive end, could be another guy that would kind of go along with DeVilliers and Marshall that were there this week.
And Brian, Nebraska did make some new offers this week between camps, private workouts. And it just once again shows you how important it is to have camps, have workouts, have prospects on campus. Jake Applegate and Gunnar Gatula, both from Lincoln Southeast at 22 and 23, both got Nebraska offers. That's 15 offers now Nebraska has made to Lincoln Southeast players since 2002, by far the most of any school in the state of Nebraska. Then you had Quantivius Gumbo Gaskins. I like to say that because that's his Twitter name. He goes by Gumbo Gaskins. Gumbo was offered a scholarship at the camp, and they gave Brian all the kids that were priority or kind of recruited kids they knew about a black jersey. Well, Quantavius Gaskins did not have one. He had a white jersey on, but earns an offer. Travis Fisher saw him later again at Florida State that same weekend after Nebraska's coaches had him on Friday. And Gaskins gets an offer, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes. You also had John Pastore, as you mentioned earlier, from Colorado. Now even have a rival's profile and get an offer from Nebraska. Then Jordan Vandenberg was offered by Nebraska, Iowa, and Penn State, committed to Penn State Tuesday night. But a lot of things came out of just Friday for Nebraska, and they're going to get a whole nother run of it on Friday this week. Vince Genitone is going to come in from North Platte, and some other bigger name guys that could possibly get an offer.
Yeah, and I thought the one guy that was really interesting story, so Shenander and Mike Dawson had flown out early, kind of like the Torres little exit on Saturday, and they ended up down at the SMU camp down here in Dallas. And they came down here specifically looking for an outside linebacker that they've been recruiting since March, took a virtual visit. His name is Chase Kennedy. He's from Episcopal High School down here in Dallas, Texas, 6'3", 224-pound defensive end that Nebraska is saying that they like him as an outside linebacker. They came down here to watch him, not Torres, and they literally pulled him out of the drill and offered him at SMU. So very, very interesting things happening. The staff is everywhere. It's like you said, I mean, whether there's no way it's just me covering recruiting. Otherwise, I would not be sleeping. We've got a great team here doing it all. And it's going to be a team effort to get us through this whole entire month because these guys are everywhere.
Well, make sure you're on Husker Online. I can tell you, I don't plan to really leave the office Friday to Sunday. And I know Brian's been the same way. Mike Mattia, Abby Barmore, Greg Peterson. We have the largest recruiting team for a reason, because we're going to try to give you every piece of information possible here over the process. And it's a lot of fun after not having the ability to do this a whole year ago. So, Brian, thank you for all of your hard work here over the last weekend.
Absolutely. Let's have another one.
All right, let's do it again. Make sure you're on HuskerOnline.com.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.